Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text I'm sharing this morning is the Old Testament lesson appointed for the Sunday, Exodus chapter 24. When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the Book of the Covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate, and they drank. This is the word of the Lord. When you read the Bible, it becomes very clear that we have expectations of God. When God promises something, he always follows through. Genesis chapter 6, God promised to send a flood, and he followed through with a flood that destroyed the whole world. A little bit later in the book of Genesis, God promised that he was going to overthrow the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and that happened. He destroyed them completely. Fast forward to the New Testament, our Lord Jesus himself promised on any number of occasions that he would suffer and die, and 3 days later rise from the dead. That's what our Good Friday and Easter worship is all about. God keeping his word. We expect that when he says something, he will follow through. In Exodus 24, God's people are at Mount Sinai because God followed through on his promises. He promised through Moses to bring those people out of captivity in Egypt. And the people were confronted with one example of another of God keeping that promise. Through 10 plagues, he delivered the 12 tribes out of Egypt. He opened the Red Sea before them, the waters pounding to death the Egyptian army. He provided food and water, defeated more enemies on their way to Mount Sinai, and here the people were, standing before the mountain of the Lord, and it was very obvious. God had done exactly what he had promised he would do. And it's just as obvious, therefore, that these people would respond the way they did. When this God who did for them what he had promised gave them his law, of course they would obey it. There could be no other reaction. We're the people of God. New Testament believers in Jesus Christ as our Savior, blessed in many ways by this God who makes promises and follows through, promising to send the Savior, promising that the blood of Jesus purifies us from all of our sin, promising that in baptism we're his children, promising in the Lord's Supper we receive the pledge of his forgiveness, promising us life eternal. We expect God to do what he has promised. And our reaction is the same as those people of Israel. Of course, we'll obey the Lord. The more I read these verses from Exodus 24, the more I'm amazed at the relationship that God had with these people at Mount Sinai, and how comforting and beautiful it truly was. God had led his people out of Egypt, and he could have taken them directly to Canaan. But first they went south, to this mountain, because God was going to make it very clear that they were his people. He was going to establish this covenant with them. They were going to have this beautiful fellowship with the Lord, and that's exactly what happened. Moses had ascended Mount Sinai and then come back down, and he started to speak the word of God to the people. Everything that God had given him so far. At the center of it was the Ten Commandments. And as Moses finished speaking the word of God, the people responded, "We will obey the word of the Lord. We will do it." Then this, just so they remembered, he wrote it all down. He copied that word of the Lord and spent the night doing that and let the people think about it a little bit. Got up early the next morning, set up 12 pillars representing those 12 tribes of Israel, then selected young men to find animals to sacrifice. The blood from those sacrifices was split in two. Half of it he saved for later. The other half he sprinkled on that altar, representing the forgiveness of sins. The shedding of blood brings the forgiveness of sins. The people saw that. Then Moses read the word again. And when the people heard it, they again responded the same way. We will obey everything. This is good. We're going to listen to the Lord. Of course we'll do that. Then he took the other half of the blood and sprinkled it on them. Their sins were paid for. They had a covenant relationship with the Lord. It was so obvious to them as they stood before that mountain of God. You are his people. It got even better. Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel, they started to go up that mountain. No one can see God and live, but these people had their sins paid for. And God invited them into his presence. They weren't looking up. They were looking down as they ascended, and they saw really God's feet. And underneath those feet, something looked like sapphire, clear as the sky itself. They were in the presence of God. They ate, and they drank, and God did not raise his hand against them. That day at Mount Sinai, God's people could look back and see what he had delivered them from. They could look around and see what an amazing God and Savior they had, and they could look ahead, knowing that God would continue to do what they expected, keep his promises, and bring them safely home to the land of Canaan, and deliver the Savior to the world through them. What else could they do except obey the Lord? In so many ways, our relationship with God is just as incredible, because we know so much more. We know how this all played out. We know how God continued to keep promises even when the people didn't obey. We know the greatest promise of our Savior and all the details surrounding it. And we know it personally, because that promise has come into our heart at our baptism. We were sprinkled with water, or water poured on us. Either way, and we were adopted into God's family of believers, made us his children, assuring us that our sins were taken away, that the blood of Jesus covered over them all. Throughout our earthly life, we look around and see how generously Jesus pours out his blessing upon us. As we look back, we can see that in our life. Even if there's been difficult times, we know God has brought us through. As we look around, even if we're in the midst of suffering in some way, we still know God is with us. And as we look ahead, we know our great Jehovah will guide us safely home to heaven. And we fully expect him to keep all of those promises, because that's just what God does. So of course, we too will obey the Lord. People of Israel didn't do that. You don't have to be an Old Testament Bible scholar to know that Israel didn't follow through on their commitment to God. They said, we will obey all this, but they disobeyed. The problem wasn't with God's law. The problem wasn't with what God was asking of his people. The problem was with the people themselves. They couldn't do it. That's our problem. Lest we think we're any different than Old Testament Israel, we need to stop and pause for a minute and consider our own sin, our own disobedience against God's covenant with us, how often we stray. Everything God had done for those people was good and positive and loving. Everything God had done for those people was only to bring them more and more blessing. We find that in the verses that follow Exodus 24. Those leaders came off that mountain, but Moses went further up the mountain. When he went further up that mountain, God kept talking to him about his word. And God gave Moses some very important instructions about the worship life for Old Testament Israel. He told Moses how to build a place called the tabernacle, And at that tabernacle, God would meet with his people through sacrifice. That was meant to bless them. Moses received instructions from the spiritual leaders of Israel, the priests. God said, I want you to set aside some priests who will serve my people, who will communicate my word to them and offer sacrifices. That was a blessing for them. And he gave them the Old Testament Sabbath day law. He said, you work 6 days, and that seventh day, you get your physical rest, of course. But most of all, you get time in my word. You get to come to the tabernacle, receive the blessings of forgiveness, spend time around that word with your spiritual family. That's what God was telling Moses further up on Mount Sinai. And everybody was waiting. And waiting. And waiting a little bit longer, and they grew impatient, including those 70 elders who had seen God and ate with him. Those people grew impatient. And they did something that if it were not recorded in Scripture, we never would believe it. We never would think it possible. But it happened. Those people of God, those covenant people of God who've been sprinkled with the blood, worshiped an idol. Those leaders who had ate with God indulged in a pagan meal at the foot of that mountain. Those people deserved God's immediate and his eternal punishment for what they had done. I don't imagine most of us leave worship on a Sunday morning and set up some golden calf. We don't have our idol at home that we go and worship because we grow impatient with the Lord. The idols we hold close, though, are hidden. They're idols that pop up in places maybe we wouldn't expect them. They come from our busy schedules. They come from all the blessings Jesus has showered upon us. They even come from our attitudes towards time in his word. We also get very good at excusing those idols. Because we're so busy, because we have so many obligations, because we have so much to do. But God sees. When Moses was on Mount Sinai by himself, he had no idea what was going on below. He was receiving God's word, preparing to deliver that to the people, and when God finished giving him that word, the Lord said, now get out of my way, because I'm going to destroy these people. But why? God saw what they were doing. He saw their idol worship. He saw that pagan revelry, and he was ready to destroy them. Moses interceded. Moses said, but Lord, you've made promises to these people. You've made promises through these people. Moses interceded on behalf of the people, and he fully expected that God would listen, because he knew God. And God did listen. Moses went down that mountain and called the people to repentance and dealt with that sin. But God kept his promise to his people. God sees us. He's not some God on a distant mountain unconcerned with his people. He sees us. He sees our idols. God sees how we prioritize our time. And he knows what comes first. God sees how we prioritize our budget. And he knows what comes first. God sees the attitudes of our heart, even around his word, and he knows what comes first. Therefore, God knows that we are idolaters. Because he's not always number one. And we know it too. Because of that sin, we deserve the same punishment God's people always have deserved. Immediate and permanent punishment. We don't have a Moses. We don't have a Moses standing before God on our behalf, but we have someone better. We have Jesus. Jesus who lives to make intercession for us. Jesus who lives to stand before us and God. Jesus, who by his very life assures us that our sins have been paid for. He first comes to us with the truth, speaking the truth in a loving way to call us to repentance, and then speaking the truth about our forgiveness. Jesus standing before God as the proof that our sins have been paid for is the evidence that we can expect God to forgive us, because that's what He's promised. We can expect that Jesus will continue to encourage us with forgiveness as we approach His altar and receive His body and blood. And we can expect that Jesus will deliver us safely to our promised land of heaven. God always does what He promises. What else can we do except obey Him? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Right? My three boys are in Wisconsin right now. They've been out there for about 10 days. And admittedly, I miss them. And when they're gone, you think about all the good stuff, the enjoyable times, and you don't think a whole lot about the frustrating things. Although those will come back with that. In our relationship with God, it doesn't really work that way. When we're away from the Lord, we don't tend to dwell on all the great things He's done for us. We think a whole lot about God and all the problems that He allows into our life. When I'm away from God and His Word, I wonder why He allows those things. I wonder how He's going to deal with this difficult situation in my life. I forget all about what He's done for me in Christ Jesus, my Savior. Absence from God doesn't make my heart grow fonder for the Lord. It really causes me more questions and problems. But God's heart always longs for His people. God's heart is always burning brightly with love for us, and He wants us close. And so He uses our fellow believers, our pastors, and Christian friends to give us that encouragement to stay close. To stay close to the Lord, to stay close to His Word, because that's where we find this covenant relationship with God. That's where we find this mountaintop experience, not at Sinai, but every time we go to the Word, to see that we are the people of God, called from unbelief and sin, called into relationship with Him through Christ, and called to eternal life in heaven. And as we think about that, as we are reminded of all of those blessings, our reaction is very expected. Of course, we too will obey the Lord. May God strengthen us to do that. Amen. And we heard the word of God.